Okay, welcome back. Hour number two. A lot going on. Very interesting story out of Brevard County, Florida. We'll get to that in just a minute. Are you there, partner? Welcome back.
I'm here. I'm here, Jeff.
All right. Still raining there today? Did it rain?
No. We got quite a bit of rain yesterday, but today was beautiful, probably close to 90 with humidity. So it was steamy.
Yeah. No, I don't. That's a hard one. Humidity for me.
Helps to be near a beach.
I think so. Brevard County. Now, this is not the county government. This is the Brevard County, Florida, GOP. There's a big, powerful party there. And they made a decision. This is about 4 days ago now, but there are some updates to it. And it's very interesting. Because they formally called, after studying, for an immediate cessation of all COVID-19 injections, period, done. And they called them bioweapons. This was a shock. Now, this is not something that should shock any of you, because you all know what's going on. But it was a shock in terms of seeing any media coverage at all. The only media coverage there apparently was in the local Brevard, Florida affiliate stations. Here's one. We're going to play this now. This is just one. This is interesting.
Republican Party leaders on the Space Coast are minutes away from officially calling on the governor and other state leaders to ban mRNA-based COVID vaccines immediately. iTeam Chief Investigator Mike Magnoli has more on what exactly is going on. Mike.
Good evening, everybody. Well, in their own words, the leaders of Brevard County's GOP say that they believe the vaccines are a biological weapon. As you say, this is the executive committee of the party in Brevard. They haven't hit send on this letter yet, but that vote coming up at 6:30, and I'm told it's fairly likely going to pass. If it does, they're asking state leadership to make it illegal to give or to take mRNA vaccines in Florida.
In this four-page letter, complete with footnotes, Brevard County Republicans cite sources which led them to a stunning conclusion. Here it is in their own words. Government agencies, media, and tech companies, and other corporations have committed enormous fraud by claiming COVID-19 injections are safe and effective. Strong and credible evidence has recently been revealed that COVID-19 and COVID-19 injections are biological and technological weapons. If approved, this letter will be sent to Tallahassee at a time when a grand jury requested by Governor DeSantis is investigating those very same vaccines. That grand jury's job is to determine whether pharmaceutical giants who brought the mRNA vaccines to market broke any laws and should face charges. It's already illegal to require anyone to get the COVID vaccine in Florida, but if state leaders go along with Brevard's request, no one in Florida would be allowed to get those vaccines. Today, the federal government sent a very different letter to drug companies, calling on them to make the COVID vaccines cheaper and more accessible, anticipating an increase in demand come flu season.
Yes, let's make them cheaper and more accessible. Let's give them away. No problem. This is all just beyond ludicrous. And I don't know. Good for the Brevard GOP. I'm glad to see they did something. This should be happening, should have been happening 2+ years ago all over the country. It's not. And it didn't. And this will be swept away. Here's a print version of it. Let's see. This is a newer story. He's talking about the same letter. You just heard it. I'm not going to go into this. Same thing, though. DeSantis may well sign it. Wouldn't be surprised. He's looking always for some new purchase where he can hang on and elevate his status a little bit. He's fading rapidly, so I wouldn't be surprised to see that. But it's too late. It doesn't matter. They've injected 80%+ of the American population. And they're still injecting them. It hasn't stopped. And they're getting ready to roll out a new and better, even more effective, and even safer booster. So there we go.
Well, and let's not forget they continue to build these production facilities that are going to be dedicated to manufacturing all different types of these vaccines, mRNA-based.
Big facilities, some of them.
Yeah.
The one in Australia is huge. I forget how big. 30,000, 50,000 square feet, something. It was big. And you wonder, what the hell are they doing? Are they going to standardize it for the world there? And this is big.
That's facility. What they're thinking. They honestly believe this is going to work.
Damn. There is no reason to even delude oneself into thinking that this has anything to do with health and medical science. It's not.
Well, the whole thing is flawed.
Completely.
The whole thing is flawed. They want it to work, but it's not working. It can't work. It's flawed.
Well, it's designed. It's not flawed.
They have a business model predicated on this that they honestly think is going to work.
As evidenced by all the
investment into the infrastructure to promote these things or produce them.
Right. No, exactly right. Gosh, I you go out and about and you look at little children when you can see any. I don't see many anymore. I certainly don't see babies anymore. And by the way, for the people who maybe missed Friday's program, you ought to go back and listen to it. Very interesting. Some of the Pfizer documents that were supposed to be kept sealed for 75 years revealed that 97% of the pregnant women who got the Pfizer jab lost the baby. Infanticide. The babies were all killed. 97%. Now, there were 300 and some in the study, and they got results apparently for 30 of the pregnant women, 29 of which lost the child. That's 97% on the only part of the Pfizer study that they validated and ascertained as legitimate. 97% death of the unborn. Facts.
And yet,
hidden by Pfizer.
That was not bad enough to restrict their use in women, or pregnant women.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Got to get that shot. Who was it that just said the other day? I think it was, we played it Friday. Which doctor was that?
Christopher Shoemaker.
Shoemaker. He said it was the golden rule that you never vaccinate a pregnant woman with anything. You don't do it. And he's right. All that went out the window. All of it. And this incredible tsunami of panic and fear that they successfully, with their media lapdogs, were able to push into the public consciousness. They freaked everybody out. And they knew. They did it. Wow. All for a virus, a synthetic virus, as we know now, all for a virus. And yes, there are viruses, ladies and gentlemen. All for a virus that clearly was survivable. 99.99997% survivable with zero treatment. Nothing. Do nothing. And nobody dies anyway. Give them a little treatment and you got 100% survival rate. So, okay, I don't know how much the public has learned from this, because with 80% now injected, I don't know how much damage has been done to their minds. A lot of them are suffering personality changes. You know this. Thought problems, short-term memory loss. The ability to focus and stay focused, I think, is another complaint. This thing is absolutely horrific, and it continues to worsen. That's all I can say. It's not getting any better.
Well, I would agree. You know, the devastation to the body is multifaceted.
Head to toe. It's just,
you know, including the microbiome. The microbiome is altered in such a way that it's really undermining people's health. And I've said it before, this loss of the butyrate-producing bacteria in the gut is a massive, major contributor to the colon cancer that we're seeing now. No question. I mean, that's well documented. And it's not that easy to put back. It's not a matter of having some kefir or sauerkraut.
What was the first one?
They make it say...
Oh, kefir? Oh, okay. You said kefir. You got me there. Sorry.
Yeah, so they want people to think,
right?
That, you know, change your diet a little bit and your problems go away.
That's all it takes. That's
And you know, what they're not telling you is the problem, the reason this is arising is because of the alterations in the tryptophan metabolism in the gut. When that ACE2 receptor is blocked, you cannot absorb tryptophan. And this has profound consequences for the bacteria that use that tryptophan to manufacture their antimicrobial peptides to keep the bad guys at bay. So, you know, if you don't address that, then it's a lost cause.
With respect to the ACE2, a lot of people think ACE2 will only be a receiver for one spike at a time. That's not true. Apparently, multiple spikes can adhere to an ACE2. I read that the other day.
Hmm.
It's not just one. So I forget where I read it, but I did read it. The idea that...
Yeah, I mean, that is the main receptor for the spike. Mm-hmm. And the main way it's exerting its damaging effects. So just undermining that entire homeostatic mechanism between inflammation and the tone of the vasculature, its ability to contract or expand as needed, electrolyte balance. Many things are associated with properly functioning ACE2 enzyme or ACE2 receptor.
Mm-hmm. 40 trillion in one injection, mRNA, instruction packets, to tell your cells start manufacturing spike right now. 40 trillion per shot. So the new booster...
That could be read more than once.
Yes. All right. Geert Vandenbosch, veterinarian, one of the leading spokespeople in this whole nightmare, this crisis, has made dozens and dozens of videos. His commentaries are pretty well respected by people around the world. He's made what he says is his last video. His last video predictive warning is now out. It's short. We're going to play it now. And if it is his last one, he's definitely sounding the alarm. He's had kind of a checkered past in this. He got off the rails a couple times. I can't remember the exact subject matter, but generally,
well,
worth listening to. I forget what it was he did that was what.
My issue is that he regards this as a legitimate vaccine.
He's still referring to it that way. Yes, I know.
Yeah, and how can you call this a vaccine? And
after
as
all
if
this
it, it's
time?
You know, no. Like a traditional vaccine, and the problems that we're seeing is because, well, mostly that we're vaccinating in the midst of a pandemic, which no, there's no question that's not a smart thing to do. But it never provided any protection other than boosting the immune system to react to something, and then I think the duration of the immunity was something like 2 weeks, and then you were at increased risk. I just, you know, to continue calling this a vaccine as if it's legitimate stab at curtailing the spread of this thing.
Well,
it did none of that. people became infected. They're carrying it asymptomatically. They are enabling the virus to evolve and mutate within them. They've literally become walking, talking human bioreactors for this thing. And it's dampened their own immunity.
Oh, yes.
And there's nothing but disaster coming from this. And he claims in this video, this latest video, that the worst is yet to come. I mean, the people who have received this vax are still enjoying, if you can call it that, some degree of protection in that they're not going to get severe disease from the virus, even though they're probably, as he says, harboring it right now. And I would agree with that. They are harboring it asymptomatically. And I think that's one of the reasons why unvaxxed people are at very increased risk at acquiring the virus when they're around these people. And you don't know what form of the virus you're going to get. Is it some weakened version, or is it more virulent? We don't know.
No. Another aspect of this is one that we've focused on very heavily, and many of you have a great interest in for obvious reasons, and that's the issue of shedding. It is sad to say, but a lot of people who look at the shedding issue are not able to understand what they're seeing. They can take part of it, they can take a piece here and there and assemble their own version of shedding and the dangers. The dangers are the dangers, and they're there, and we've made it abundantly clear what they are. So that's another issue. People are just, they're not finding their way.
It's a complex.
Yeah, it's very complicated.
I would say that you're getting a range of different reactions in the shedding symptoms because people's immune systems are reacting differently to the protein, whatever protein it is. You call it a spike protein. There's probably other proteins. It could be bacterial proteins, any range of things. And people can vary in the way their immune system responds to these things. And I would say, based on symptoms, some of these symptoms are quite severe, that some people, because of the dose that they received, have now graduated to some type of hypersensitivity response. And there can be four different types, but now it's your body that's creating the symptoms, and that's why one person can react severely and the other person doesn't react at all. It's the immune system that's creating the symptoms now.
You got it. All right, here's Geert, and this is his final video. I think he does say that in the beginning, so let's take a listen. Oops.
Imagine.
Hold on. It's Rumble, and it's coming up right now.
Dear friends, I promise this will be my very last video message. I guess some of you start hating to see my face, but this video message will be short and it will be important. So let me again briefly introduce myself. My name is Geert van den Bosch, and I got trained in veterinary medicine, have a PhD in virology and a long-standing career in the vaccine business, worked with several different vaccine companies as well as with global health organizations.
Such as the World Health Organization, right? Didn't he work for the WHO?
I thought it was the other one. Was it Gavi?
Gavi. That's Gates' thing. All right. You're right.
I do understand vaccines, and I do understand all the good vaccines can do, but I also understand all the bad things vaccines can do. And we had an example of the latter over the last few years. And as you may remember, I very early on started opposing the idea of doing mass vaccination during a pandemic of an acute viral infection. This is, in my opinion, a very bad thing. a very bad indication for using vaccines. Another bad indication would be to use vaccines during the incubation phase of a disease. And as you know, I have been warning recently more specifically about the fact that highly vaccinated populations are right now incubating Omicron-derived variants that will be able to overcome the virulence-inhibiting immune mechanism that is currently still protecting COVID-19 vaccinees from severe disease. The question really is, who will be at risk and who will not? So I've been revisiting the immunology involved in this complex and complicated pandemic, a pandemic of immune escape variants, and I've come to the following conclusion. Please take a sheet of paper and take note. So people who will not be at risk, or at least not at risk of severe disease, I'm not saying that they could not still contract mild, moderate disease, but certainly not severe disease, are all people who have not been vaccinated. And I've explained this before, why this is. Or people who maybe received a placebo. I'm still having a hard time to believe that this could have been the case, but nevertheless. So all those who were not vaccinated. Secondarily, also all those who only got one single shot of a COVID-19 vaccine, regardless of the type of vaccine. And third, also all those who have experienced SARS-CoV-2 infection prior to vaccination, regardless of the type of infection, whether symptomatic or asymptomatic, regardless of the type of vaccine, mRNA vaccine or non-mRNA vaccine, and also regardless of the number of doses of the vaccine. So on the other hand, those who, in my humble opinion, could be at risk of severe disease caused by this new type of variants that are going, or likely to emerge pretty soon, are all those who have received two or more shots prior to experiencing a vaccine breakthrough infection.
Okay. The good news for a lot of people listening from Geert is that those who have taken only one shot, in his mind, are not particularly at risk. I disagree with that. We've had too many stories of people, well, I only got one shot, or he only got one shot, or she just had one vaccine, and boom, they're in big trouble. I think there are a lot of variables here. It's a nice thing to hear him say. I hope he's right. But the data that I've seen, and I think we've seen, would suggest that one shot is more than enough to cause severe trouble with people.
Well, and the other thing that we rarely talk about is the vax can make the vaxxed sick. And I've seen several examples of this with people that I'm acquainted with that have gone to get-togethers, conventions, and whatnot, and they have gotten sick.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I think
what we're seeing,
go ahead.
People's immune systems are trashed if they've had these shots and they continue to share the company of other people who have been vaxxed. They're all shedding different things.
Right.
And
you
varying toxicity.
Right.
I don't know how you can draw any conclusions from anything right now. I mean, it's all speculation.
That's exactly what I was going to. I'm backing this up. I'm going to replay it because it is highly speculative. You don't want to be around people who have been vaxxed. First of all, they're not going to tell you, most of them. Yes, I've had 3 shots, 4 shots, 5, whatever, 1 shot. You just don't know. Shedding is real. That's been proven, I think, without any question. You can't even argue it at this point in time. Let's listen again, hear what he said.
Prior to vaccination, regardless of the type of infection, whether symptomatic or asymptomatic, regardless of the type of vaccine, mRNA vaccine or non-mRNA vaccine, and also regardless of the number of doses of the vaccine. So on the other hand, those who, in my humble opinion, could be at risk of severe disease caused by this new type of variants that are going, likely to emerge pretty soon, are all those who have received 2 or more shots prior to experiencing a vaccine breakthrough infection. So 2 or more shots of either the mRNA vaccine or non-mRNA vaccine before suffering from a vaccine breakthrough infection. This is typical, will be typically the case, I guess, for those who have been vaccinated early on in the process. So this applies specifically to elderly people in nursery and elderly homes who were the first that got vaccinated. And this risk has essentially to do with the immune phenomenon that I have been describing in detail in my new book, The Inescapable Immune Escape Pandemic. And that phenomenon is called steric immune refocusing. I'm describing in detail this phenomenon that is linked to vaccine breakthrough infections. So I strongly recommend people who fall in this category to make sure they have access to antivirals. Okay, so what will we see in the coming weeks?
Okay, anything you want to say about what he has said so far before we get to his punchline warning here, what he's expecting?
Well, I think everything he's saying would ring true if this was a normal type of vaccine, but it's not.
It's all synthetic, every bit of it, designed and owned by the Pentagon Department of Defense, not Mother Nature. This didn't evolve from something. It was created.
I mean, it's a gene transfection where many different cells of your body have been violated and are now producing or were producing a foreign antigen, maybe still producing it. And then by virtue of that, the entire innate immune system isn't normal. We've had several papers on that already of how the innate immune system is reprogrammed as a result of these gene transfections. So your first line of defense is not there.
No, it's not. All right, let's finish up here.
To my predictions, what we will see in the coming weeks is still a further increase in acute autoimmune diseases, for example, autoimmune myocarditis, autoimmune diabetes type 1, juvenile diabetes, more than inflammatory organ disease, what we have been seeing in the past. So now we see more and more autoreactive organ disorders. We also see more and more, and that trend will still increase, in my opinion, turbo cancers, so acute cases, accelerated cancer with metastasis, etc. So these excess deaths due to autoreactive immune disorders and cancer will then be followed by a substantial wave of hyperacute COVID-19 disease in highly vaccinated populations. So I expect this to occur late summer, early autumn. So I wanted to share this with you because I think it has important information. And with that, I wish you the best and thank you sincerely for your attention.
Okay, well, you're welcome, Garrett, and good luck. I hope he continues to make videos from time to time. I think he will, but this is certainly a little drama. So what's the bottom line here on what we just heard? What's he saying?
Well, I think the takeaway is he's anticipating by the end of this summer or early fall, we're going to have a death wave. For a variety of reasons, he believes that whatever protection these people are experiencing or enjoying now is going to fade because this virus is still evolving and acquiring attributes that allow it to escape the immune system. Now, on top of that, we also have, as he said, the turbo cancers. And, you know, cancer is a sign of that the innate immune system is not working. It's not able to identify rogue right. cells and weed them out. I mean, take your pick. There's a death wave coming for multiple reasons. Are they going to want to slap COVID on all these deaths that are coming? Is that what this is really about?
I don't know. Maybe. It seems like he may have heard something that he believes is true, and that's the reason he's making that kind of a forecast. He's predicating.
Well, they're never going to admit, at least publicly, that the vaccine is the reason why these people are not doing well. So we can blame the virus, right?
I don't know what else to do. I guess that's it. Crazy. All right. Well, so he's saying that end of summer into fall is going to be a difficult time for a lot of people. And that does certainly match up with the way we see it, that there are people who have been injected who are percolating any number of different kinds of very serious injuries that may be subclinical. Many are not. And people are actually fighting problems that they never had before, but they're still ambulatory. They're still out and about. They're able to function. And they're not going to tell people. So you'll see people out all the time who are actually fighting very serious problems, clots, you name it. And they're not wearing a tag where they're going to be identifiable, so you can't tell. But he's saying that I guess this is going to catch up with a lot of people this late summer, early fall.
I think I would agree with him.
I mean, we have the Deagle numbers, right? We've got a year and a half until they come home to roost, theoretically, which is January 1st, 2025. And I'm not sure that we might want to push that back 6 months. We'll see. We're going to have a difficult time, I think, calculating how many people are really dying. We'll talk to Nurse Ann. We get inside information. I called, when did I call? A week or two ago, 2 weeks ago? I called two or three funeral homes. And business is good, real good. They're backed up in some cases. They're actually admitting that. So I think the number of people who we are losing is very substantial because of all the different causes of death that can be ascribed to their passing. Dozens of different kinds of complexes and syndromes and failures and you name it. Circulatory problems, immunological problems, major organ dysfunction, prion diseases in the brain, Epstein-Barr, they can call it Guillain-Barré. There are all kinds of things out there. So we'll have to wait and see. But I think he's correct. It does parallel what what we've been saying here for a long time, that people are sick and they're getting sicker. And you can't detox this stuff. You keep hearing that. Oh, you need to detox, detox. Can you explain why you can't detox from this kind of a damaged, terrible result from a bioweapon? This is a weapon. It's not a health measure.
It's a weapon, and if you've received this mRNA or DNA with the adenovirus through a needle, it's gone into your body and genetically changed whatever cells it has come into contact with. Now, some people say it's every cell in your body. No, it's not every cell in the body, but it's right. enough to cause you a lot of problems, partly because those cells now are not producing the proteins they should be producing. Instead, they're producing this noxious protein that's lethal on its own. Immune system has...
Well, let's go back to Chetty back in the golden days when he was really standing up and saying it as it was. This is the most deadly thing that humankind has ever created, if humankind fully created it all, which I have personally my own question about. But nonetheless, this protein is the deadliest thing, the spike, ever. That's what he said.
Yeah, it can interfere with so many different bodily systems.
Right.
You know, your blood, your vasculature, your brain, your immune system. It does seem to decimate the immune system in more than one way. And I would say it's airborne AIDS. I mean, it is aerosolized.
Sure it is.
So, yeah, once this has gone into a cell, like a herpes virus, once you acquire a herpes virus, you've got it for life. And I believe it seems to be the case that they've managed to do the same thing with this mRNA so that it persists inside a cell, and the cell, for whatever reason, doesn't see it, can't get rid of it, so there it stays, and when it wakes up or decides to reproduce itself, I don't know what the trigger is. There's a lot of focus now on promoting autophagy through fasting.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if that really, we know it works during the fast because it turns down protein production.
Overall.
But then as soon as you start eating again, it comes right back, and sometimes like a boomerang.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not surprised.
So that would be one way at least to turn it down. But once it's in there and it's persisting is what we call an episome, which is something that a gene that overrides your genes, it's there to stay.
Yeah.
If it's in a cell or an organ that's immune privileged, like nerve cells and the testes, those are immune privileged, so they don't have the same kind of immune response that other cells would, because they're protected. You don't want the immune system attacking those directly. It'll destroy them. So that may be why this virus, who knows about the vaccine, I suspect it's probably the same, can persist in the testes indefinitely, because it's immune privileged site.
And I hope all of you remember, those of you who heard, we covered it several times, the work of the late great pathologist, Dr. Arne Burkhardt, finding out that in males that he autopsied, there was no more sperm. It had been replaced with 100%. That's what he said. Spike protein. So when you're engaged in the act of reproduction, what's being passed from the male to the female is a huge load of spike protein, not spermatozoa.
Right.
And so sex can kill. It's very simple. And an unvaxxed female in the presence of a vaxxed male is in real serious trouble, just for openers. Where it goes after the act is anybody's guess, but not good. Not good at all. Okay, let's go look at our files here and see what we have to cover. Oh, you have some dating things here. Interesting.
Oh, it's a popular topic.
Yeah, everyone's trying to find that unvaxxed partner, even if they're vaxxed. So I don't know. It's a little strange. All right, where do you want to start here?
You lead.
Dating and toxicity. Let me see that.
This requires a little introduction, but...
All right, well, let me go right into the dating thing then. Here, I'll do that. That's
all right.
Short. All right. I'll do the first two. I don't even know what the other ones are like. All right. Someone says, I met an interesting person recently. She claims she is not vaxxed, but I know that her father is vaxxed once. And I am pretty sure she had intimate contact with a vaxxed person. What do you think about this? Where is dear Abby when we need her, huh? And one response to that, just being around the jabbed makes unjabbed people fall sick. If mundane activities like visiting an office, shopping, or receiving parcels from vaxxed delivery people makes us sick, you can imagine what effect swapping bodily fluids and rubbing up on each other is going to have. If she's been rolling in the hay with a jabbed person, she's most likely heavily contaminated and needs a serious detox. Shedding can be passed around, so she will pass it on to others. Well, that's, if she's not vaxxed, that's secondhand shedding, but nonetheless, the suggestion again here is do a detox and you'll be okay. That's not going to work. It doesn't work like that. I wish it did. Maybe it can help somewhat. The jury is seemingly out on this, but you can't just detox from this. And if you're getting shed upon and you want to detox from that, I get it, it's different than getting vaxxed, but nonetheless, if you have been transfected or transferred with mRNA, spike, and goodness knows what else, I don't think a simple detox is going to do a whole lot.
And then we have the bacterial component. I mean, if the microbiome has been altered in such a way that it's now harboring the instructions to produce spike or whatever else, you know, through these DNA plasmids. Who knows? I mean, we're really short on accurate data to be able to.
We don't have the lab
really
data.
Know.
I wish we did.
You know what is being transmitted, and it's a guessing game.
Well, you have to. If you're going to err, you better err on the side of extreme caution. Extreme caution. And if you're out dating, you better know damn well for sure as you can get, what your partner's vax status is and make your decisions accordingly.
Well, that's just it. It may be a lot more than just feeling crummy for a few days or a week or two.
You may have
destroyed your immune system or your ability to reproduce or, you know, given yourself these clotting disorders.
Correct.
Is it worth it?
Absolutely right. No. All right, go ahead. There's two more there.
All right. The first person says in reply, I know what you mean, but then it doesn't make sense to look for an unvaxxed partner. I mean, what are the odds of finding an unvaxxed person who's never been in contact with a vaxxed person? And then you have to ask, are you vaccinated? And have you ever had contact with a vaxxed person in the last 2 years? That's kind of goofy, if you ask me. So if this is the real thing, people have to say, quote, you'll never be able to have a partner again in this life, than to say, yeah, just go look for an unvaxxed person.
Not,
all right,
and
this person...
No.
People can risk destroying their quality of life if they want to, or they can try to network with other unjabbed and increase the odds of finding someone who won't make them sick. Depends, too, on the mindset of the jabbed one. Most are in denial, even if they're sick, and refuse to take any detox. If one is willing to be honest with themselves and detox from it, and be conscientious about how they're affecting others, that might be a different story, assuming it's possible to detox the injection at all. But even in the absence of the bioweapon, it's important to learn how to be alone and to be secure with oneself. Our worth is not determined by our relationship status, and we shouldn't be so desperate and codependent to the point we're willing to compromise our physical or mental health, dignity, or overall well-being just to avoid being alone. It's important to have reasonable standards when making space in one's life for a romantic partner, not simply latch on to the first person who massages our ego or catches our fancy for superficial reasons. To each their own. But personally speaking, I value quality over quantity, and I'd rather be celibate the rest of my life than settle for someone who's going to inflict emotional or physical damage on me. And as far as the jab are concerned, I sure don't want a partner who will make me hemorrhage for days or weeks on end, as some ladies have reported. Well, exactly said.
Yeah, no, that is very succinctly stated. Okay, let's. What is this one that needs to set up here? Is that a good one? Dating and D6.
Dating and. I don't know. It's humorous.
All right.
There's now a thing. Well, I guess there has been a thing. I was not aware of this. Of many people who are now, or believe they are, B6, as in vitamin B6, toxic. Mm-hmm. And there seems to be something to do with this virus and or the bioweapon that is causing people to have high levels of B6 in their blood. Why that is, it's not known, but they are attributing all of their neurological problems now to being B6 toxic. Now, B6 is one vitamin that if you take extremely high amounts for a long period of time, yes, it can build up and cause some neurological damage symptoms. And there's an entire group devoted to dealing with this issue. The group seems to be growing, oddly enough. Do these people genuinely have B6 toxicity? I don't. I'm skeptical.
How
I think that their
B6
neurological
toxicity,
symptoms.
Unless you overdose on some supplementation.
Well, apparently, whatever amounts are commonly in foods is enough. I don't know enough about it. I hesitate to comment without knowing more. But what's curious is the fact that it's growing in lockstep with this injection that's been given now for 2 years. And people are absolutely having neurological symptoms following these injections, and they have now convinced themselves that it must be B6. So there's a post in this group about dating. For anyone trying to newly date, how do you tell a potential partner about B6 toxicity? Very early days. You want to read the next?
Just to be honest, it doesn't make you any less of a person because you're dealing with symptoms that are potentially reversible. It's not an autoimmune disease, cancer, AIDS, etc. Anybody who judges you based on a health challenge you're up against doesn't deserve your respect. All right, somebody writes back, thanks so much. And another person says, I have the same problem. Men can't tolerate that I have some problem with foods, my legs, pains, etc. And another one after that says, at the beginning when I couldn't really talk about it without getting upset or emotional, I would say, I have a nerve disease that requires me to have a strict diet, somewhat like a diabetic, has issues with sugar. I have issues with food containing B6. Found it gives them perspective without having to over-explain myself. Well, this is the first I've heard of B6. I don't know about this. This is an odd one.
It really is, especially, how much investigation have they done to determine whether this is really the case or not? And I question it because a lot of these people that are vax injured do have high B6 levels on a blood test, and part of that can be that they're not methylating properly and they cannot use their B6. If you don't have enough B6, one of the problems that can happen is you cannot make heme. B6 is required to make heme.
That's right. Interesting.
So I don't know what this is about, but I tell you, there's so many support groups now with people coming in with a whole range of different symptoms that are most likely due to these injections that they've taken, and they're not connecting the dots.
No one's connecting any dots anymore. There's so much confusion out there. It's not easy to do, even under the best of circumstances. And with the chaos now being sown into the communities online from all the big alt news media people, and do remember that most all of the alt news world is compromised. A lot of it is created opposition. A lot of it is totally under the control or influence of various groups that none of us would want anything to do with. So keep that in mind when you're wading through it. It's hard. It's not easy. All right. Anything you want to add there?
No, that's good.
That's a wrap, as they say in Hollywood, which is on the actors are on strike right now.
Yeah, we might lose Hollywood.
Oh, my goodness. God forbid. Thank you. Talk soon. Great job.
Okay, Jeff. My pleasure. Good night, everyone.
Okay, we'll be right back with more. Hang on.